Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 38. Why Man Was Not Made Perfect from the Beginning. If, however, anyone say, What? Could not God have exhibited man as perfect from the beginning? Let him know that, inasmuch as God is indeed always the same and unbegotten as respects himself, all things are possible to him. But created things must be inferior to him who created them, from the very fact of their later origin. For it was not possible for things recently created to have been uncreated. But inasmuch as they are not uncreated, for this very reason do they come short of the perfect. Because, as these things are of later date, so are they infantile. So are they unaccustomed to and unexercised in perfect discipline. For as it is certainly in the power of a mother to give strong food to her infant, but she does not do so, as the child is not yet able to receive more substantial nourishment, so also it was possible for God himself to have made man perfect from the first. But man could not receive this, being as yet an infant. And for this cause, our Lord, in these last times, when he had summed up all things into himself, came to us not as he might have come, but as we were capable of beholding him. He might easily have come to us in his immortal glory, but in that case we could never have endured the greatness of the glory. And therefore it was that he, who was the perfect bread of the Father, offered himself to us as milk, because we were as infants. He did this when he appeared as a man, that we, being nourished, as it were, from the breast of his flesh, and having by such a course of milk nourishment, become accustomed to eat and drink the word of God, may also be able to contain in ourselves the bread of immortality, which is the Spirit of the Father. And on this account does Paul declare to the Corinthians, I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. That is, you have indeed learned the advent of our Lord as a man. Nevertheless, because of your infirmity, the Spirit of the Father has not yet rested upon you. For when envying and strife, he says, and dissensions are among you, are you not carnal and walk as men? That is, that the Spirit of the Father was not yet with them, on account of their imperfection and the shortcomings of their walk in life. As, therefore, the Apostle had the power to give them strong meat, for those upon whom the Apostles laid hands received the Holy Spirit, who is the food of life. But they were not capable of receiving it, because they had the sentient faculties of the soul, still feeble and undisciplined in the practice of things relating to God. So in like manner, God had power at the beginning to grant perfection to man. But as the latter was only recently created, he could not possibly have received it. Or even if he had received it, could he have contained it? Or, containing it, could he have retained it? It was for this reason that the Son of God, although he was perfect, passed through the state of infancy in common with the rest of mankind, partaking of it thus not for his own benefit, but for that of the infantile stage of man's existence, in order that man might be able to receive him. There was nothing, therefore, impossible to and deficient in God, that man was not an uncreated being. But this merely applied to him who was lately created, man. With God there are simultaneously exhibited power, wisdom, and goodness. his power and goodness in this, that of his own will he called into being and fashioned things having no previous existence. His wisdom is shown in his having made created things part of one harmonious and consistent whole, and those things which, through his supereminent kindness, receive growth and a long period of existence, do reflect the glory of the uncreated one, of that God who bestows what is good ungrudgingly. For from the very fact of these things having been created, they are not uncreated, but by their continuing in being throughout a long course of ages, they shall receive a faculty of the uncreated through the gratuitous bestowal of eternal existence upon them by God. And thus in all things God has the preeminence, who alone is uncreated, the first of all things, and the primary cause of the existence of all, while of all other things remain under God's subjection. But being in subjection to God is continuance in immortality, and immortality is the glory of the uncreated one. By this arrangement, therefore, and these harmonies, and a sequence of this nature, man, a created and organized being, is rendered after the image and likeness of the uncreated God, the Father planning everything well and giving his commands, the Son carrying these into execution and performing the work of creating, and the Spirit nourishing and increasing. But man making progress day by day and ascending toward the perfect, that is, approximating to the uncreated one. For the uncreated is perfect, that is, God. Now it was necessary that man should, in the first instance, be created, and having been created, should receive growth, and having received growth, should be strengthened, and having been strengthened, should abound, and having abounded, should recover from the disease of sin, and having recovered, should be glorified, and being glorified, should see his Lord. For God is he who is yet to be seen, and the beholding of God is productive of immortality. But immortality renders one near unto God. Irrational, therefore, in every respect, are those who do not await the time of increase, but ascribe to God the infirmity of their nature. Such persons know neither God nor themselves, being insatiable and ungrateful, unwilling to be at the outset what they have also been created, men subject to passions. But they go beyond the law of the human race, and before that they become man, they wish to be even now like God, their Creator. And those who are more destitute of reason than dumb animals insist that there is no distinction between the uncreated God and man, a creature of today. For the dumb animals bring no charge against God for not having made them men, but each one, just as he has been created, gives thanks that he has been created. For we cast blame upon him, because we have not been gods from the beginning, but at first merely men, then at length gods. Although God has adopted this course out of his pure benevolence, that no one may impute to him invidiousness or grudgingness, he declares, I have said you are gods, and you are all sons of the highest. But since we could not sustain the power of divinity, he adds, But you shall die like men. Setting forth both truths, the kindness of his free gift, and our weakness, and also that we were possessed of power over ourselves. For after his great kindness, he graciously conferred good, and made men like himself in their own power, while at the same time By his prescience, he knew the infirmity of human beings, and the consequences which would flow from it. But through love and power, he shall overcome the substance of created nature. For it was necessary at first that nature should be exhibited. Then after that, that what was mortal should be conquered and swallowed up by immortality, and the corruptible by incorruptibility, and that man should be made after the image and likeness of God, having received the knowledge of good and evil. End of chapter 38.